Welcome to the Lose Your Cravings podcast, taking a different approach to reducing your cravings once and for all with your host, Kisa Amaro, Certified Integrative Health Coach. Well, welcome back, my friends. I'm Kisa Amaro, and I help ambitious women manage their emotional eating without deprivation or complicated meal plans so they can show up fully in their life and their career. Okay, my friends, we are in part two of Conquering Persistent Cravings. And I realize it's a little bit more difficult to break one long episode into two episodes. So I apologize if the transition is a little choppy, but this is what we got going on today. So today's topic was suggested by one of our Lose Your Cravings Patreon members, Sharon. And as a member of the Lose Your Cravings Patreon community, you not only get to suggest topics for the episode, but you also get monthly workshops and talks and behind the scenes tips to help you reduce your cravings for good. If you're interested in joining and supporting the podcast, head on over to patreon.com/loseyourcravings. I'll also put the link in the show notes. So Sharon wanted me to talk about persistent cravings. So today is the second half of the topic, conquering persistent cravings. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, episode 137, Conquering Persistent Cravings, part one, and I highly recommend you listen to that episode first, as it really lays the groundwork for what I'll be talking about today. So in that episode, I dive into what a craving is, what causes it, and how it affects your body, especially the release of dopamine and the habit loop, like how our habits are formed. So today I'm going to be talking about what do we do with these persistent cravings. So let's dive into the four strategies that will help you with even the most persistent cravings. So first, I want to remind you that your cravings are a signal. They are telling you something, that something is out of balance. So listen to them and see what they're telling you. Okay, what we don't want to do with cravings is to resist or avoid it. I call this white knuckling it through our cravings. It's like holding a beach ball underwater. It will work for a bit. But then you eventually get tired, you lose balance, and the beach ball shoots up into the air and you eat, well, yes, it shoots up into the air, it goes crazy. So if we compare that to our cravings, right, you can resist your cravings for a while, but they eventually come back stronger and more persistent. And then you give into them and eat all the food. This is when you eat all the food. And this is what so many diet programs and systems will tell you to do with your cravings. Just ignore them, avoid them, distract yourself from them, go take a nice bath, go for a walk, right? Now those things are not bad, right? I'm not saying don't do those things. Please do those things if they bring you pleasure and joy. But we don't want to do them to necessarily avoid our cravings, but we want to do that to bring comfort into our life and enjoyment into our life. But really what this is doing when we're just ignoring our cravings and we're avoiding or distracting is we're ignoring the root cause. Your cravings are here to tell you something. So instead of pushing them away and ignoring them, you need to listen to them to reduce and conquer them. The four stages I want to, or sorry, stages, strategies, you can do them in any order. The four strategies I want to share with you to help you manage these persistent cravings are: one, allowing your cravings; two, get curious about your cravings; three, examine your thoughts about food; and four, choose compassion. Now, this fourth one I'm going to be sharing with my Patreon members in the Lose Your Cravings Patreon community exclusively. But I'm going to be talking about the first three here on the podcast. So these four strategies are ones that I have used myself personally and that I share with my clients, and they use to help them reduce their cravings. So let's dive into each one. I'll kind of share a little bit more about each one. And the first one we're going to talk about is allowing cravings. So allowing food cravings without acting on them involves acknowledging the craving and then implementing strategies to manage it without food. If you haven't listened to episode 105, Allowing Cravings, go ahead and do that after this. And this is where I go more into depth on how to allow your cravings without eating the food and without resisting, without avoiding. But I want to share some strategies you can start to incorporate into your daily life to help you allow your cravings. So this is going to help you allow your cravings without, it's like feeling your cravings, noticing them without eating the food. Okay. Or maybe as much food. I don't know. Maybe. So number one is mindful awareness. Recognize the craving without judgment. Okay, the last thing we want to do is judge ourselves. Instead of immediately acting on it, observe it with curiosity and non-reactivity. Just notice your craving. That's interesting. I have this really strong desire to get up and go to the pantry and grab some pretzels and eat them. I wonder why. What time of day is it? What is my environment? What's happened today, right? Being mindful, recognize this craving without judgment. Number two, plan ahead. And now, when I'm talking about planning ahead, I'm talking about planning in treats or times when you eat the food you are craving. Okay, say you crave ice cream. Okay, I'm gonna plan in a time tomorrow after dinner, I'm gonna have a scoop of ice cream. Okay, when you have, like when you plan this ahead, you know, like in your head, like we're not getting rid of the ice cream. Right? And we learn to trust ourselves around the ice cream. We learn to eat an amount without overeating it. And we're not restricting it anymore. Okay? And then when you do have cravings in the moment, you can tell yourself, I can have that tomorrow. Okay? Number three, identify the underlying cause. So reflect on what might be triggering your craving. Is it physical hunger, emotional hunger, or is it a habit? Addressing the root cause can help reduce your craving, right? So what is that underlying cause? What is your craving trying to communicate to you? Number four, practice self-care. Make sure you're adequately nourished and hydrated. Like, eat enough food, my friends. As hunger and thirst can sometimes show up as cravings, prioritize getting enough sleep, managing your stress, and taking care of your emotional well-being, as these factors can influence your cravings. And then lastly, you can use visualization techniques, right? Imagine yourself successfully allowing a craving and how proud you feel afterwards. Right? Visualize your desired outcome. And this can strengthen your ability to allow your cravings without eating the food and not act on it with the food. Okay. So when you start to implement these strategies into your everyday life, you can learn to acknowledge and manage food cravings without giving into them. Right? Ultimately, you're reducing your cravings and making them more manageable. So, what I highly recommend, I am giving you a lot of strategies and information on this episode. So, I have four strategies I'm sharing, right? And each strategy kind of has some sub-strategies within. So, like, maybe you want to work on allowing cravings. Or maybe you want to work on getting curious. Choose one strategy and then choose one sub-strategy to help support you, right? We don't need to be doing all the things. You don't need to be like, oh, I need to do all of this that Kisa is telling me. No. Choose what kind of calls to you, what speaks to you, what you feel is doable, and start practicing it. Okay. So, next, I want to talk about something that has helped me and my clients. That I work with so, so much in reducing your cravings and managing those stubborn cravings. And that is getting curious about your cravings. When you get curious about your cravings, you look at what's beyond the food and you discover what this craving is telling you. Through this process, you get clear on what you need to do to reduce your cravings, and it usually has nothing to do with food. Seldom it does, but usually it's something a little deeper. So food cravings can communicate various messages about our body, our emotions, and our habits. So here are some potential interpretations of what food cravings might be telling you. So once again, like, just notice, like, you don't have to notice all these things in your life where they show up, but like, oh, maybe I notice this one more than that one, right? And it's okay. So number one, when we're getting curious about our cravings, this is something that your craving might be telling you, that you have a nutritional deficiency. So cravings for specific foods may indicate that your body is lacking certain nutrients. So for example, maybe you're craving red meat, and this could signal a need for iron. Maybe you're craving dairy products, which might indicate a need for calcium. Maybe, the next is an emotional need, right? This might be communicating an emotional need. So cravings can also be linked to emotions such as stress, anxiety, boredom, or sadness. And you may crave certain comfort foods as a way to cope or numb with or alleviate these negative emotions, right? We eat to numb this negative emotion so we don't feel it because it's uncomfortable. And then the next thing that your cravings might be communicating is hormonal fluctuations, right? Hormonal changes. Maybe you experience these during menstruation or your different parts of your cycle. Maybe you're pregnant and you have these hormonal changes, or maybe you're going through menopause. They can influence your food cravings, right? So for example, craving a higher carb food may increase during certain phases of your menstrual cycle, whereas maybe craving more fattier, denser foods may increase during other parts of your cycle. And then we have habitual patterns. So cravings can be influenced by your past experiences and habits. So if you regularly consume certain foods in a response to specific cues, such as watching TV or feeling tired, you may develop cravings for those foods in similar situations. When we sit down to watch TV, we start to crave specific food that you associate with the TV, right? You sit down and you start eating popcorn or let's just say crackers. I don't know if I would make popcorn at home. Maybe you would. I don't know if I would. I'm more of a cracker person. Okay, I sit down, you're just eating whatever, popcorn, crackers, chips, while you're watching the TV. And so you would start to associate these foods with the TV. So every time you sit down to watch TV, you're like, some chips sound good right now, even though you didn't like really plan on having any, okay? So those are your habitual patterns. And then we have environmental cues. So external factors such as advertisements, food availability, and social situations can trigger cravings. So seeing or smelling a certain food may prompt a craving for it, even if we weren't even physically hungry, right? We go to the movie theater and we smell popcorn. Who does not want popcorn when you go to the movie theater? That's where I eat my popcorn, okay? Not at home. I eat it at the movie theater. It's those environmental cues, right? We go to the movie, we smell the popcorn, we're like, I want popcorn. So by getting curious and paying attention to the context and triggers of your cravings, you can develop insight into your body's needs and really make these more informed decisions and choices about how to address them. And addressing any underlying emotional or nutritional factors can also help reduce the intensity and frequency of cravings over time. So next, let's look at your thoughts about food and how they affect your cravings. Our thoughts about food can significantly influence our food cravings in several ways. Okay. Number one, our perception of satisfaction. If we believe that certain foods will bring us pleasure or satisfaction, we're more likely to crave them. For example, if we associate chocolate with comfort or happiness, we may crave it when we're feeling down. Okay, so we know, like, we've had it before, it's been very satisfying. And so therefore, when we are feeling bad or down or are experiencing a negative emotion, we crave that food that we think brings us happiness. Okay. What about emotional association? So your thoughts and beliefs about food can be influenced by your past experiences, your cultural norms, and societal messages. If you view certain foods as rewards, treats, or sources of comfort, you may crave them at times of stress, or when you're experiencing a negative emotion, when you're stressed, frustrated, tired, right? Who doesn't crave food when they're tired? And then next we have labeling foods as good or bad. When you categorize foods as either good or bad based on their nutritional content or their perceived healthiness, it can lead to cravings for these bad foods, right? This can increase your desire of these bad foods, and then they can trigger cravings. Basically, it's like you want what you can't have. You have this idea that this food is bad, you shouldn't eat it, and then you want it because it really is actually really good. Or maybe you perceive it to be good. Okay, next we have social influences. So our thoughts about food are often shaped by social factors such as peer pressure, cultural traditions, and media, right? So if you perceive certain foods as maybe trendy, desirable, or socially acceptable, you may experience cravings for them in order to fit in or conform to social norms, right? Like, I just think of like these kind of trendy foods like acai bowls, like smoothies, right? At one point, people didn't make smoothies and then they became trendy, right? Acai bowls was like the next thing. Avocado toast, right? Like, of course, there's like, I mean, those are fairly delicious, healthy foods, but you get what I mean, right? Like, it's these social influences of, oh, everybody's having avocado toast, so I'm going to have it, you know, or maybe I crave the smoothie because it's just, it's advertised, it's on Jamba Juice, it's on like your local, I know we have some local smoothie places where I live that are very good. Okay. And then we have the all or nothing mindset. When you look at your diet as having to be perfect or else you messed up, you feel guilty when you don't eat perfectly. You eat a bite of chocolate and you think you've messed up. So you might as well keep eating the chocolate since you already messed up, right? I'll start again tomorrow. This can cause cravings and overeating because you tend to overly restrict bad foods. So it kind of ties into that good food, bad food. And then you will overeat them once you have just one bite. So overall, your thoughts about food play a very important role in shaping your cravings and your eating behaviors. So by cultivating mindfulness and awareness around your thoughts, your beliefs, and your attitude towards food, you can really help develop a healthier relationship with eating and better manage your cravings. Okay. So let's look at the last strategy that I use and that has helped so many of my clients to feel in control around food and conquer their cravings, and that is compassion. Having compassion for yourself when it comes to food cravings is important for so many reasons, right? This is a game changer. When we drop the guilt, we drop the shame, we drop the blame, and we invite in compassion. Talking to yourself like you would your best friend or your daughter if they were going through the same thing. Now, I am sharing those reasons in my Lose Your Cravings Patreon community. So if you want to learn more about fostering compassion to help you conquer your cravings, then I invite you to join my community. The link is in the show notes. Okay. So what strategy will you start with? Will you start with allowing your cravings? Will you start with getting curious about your cravings? Or will you start with examining your thoughts about food? Start with one strategy, practice it, and get good at it. And then you can come back and work on the next strategy. We don't need to do all the things. Okay, I hope that this gives you some insight and guidance on how to handle your persistent cravings. Okay, my friends, this is all I have for you today. And join me for my next episode where I have an amazing guest on, Christiana Schroeder, and we are diving into eating disorders. I really wanted to have her on the show to help you differentiate between struggling with your eating and having an eating disorder. She is a wealth of knowledge, and I can't wait to share her interview with you. Okay, my friends, until next week. Bye, y'all.